Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this Bible study, or this study, this program that we're doing. Today we're going back into our study, brothers and sisters, on the study of life. We've been studying life and trying to answer the question of what is life, and trying to find out and search for our answer in the Scriptures, in God's Word. And so far, we have studied the topic of life natural, finished that up, and seeing what the Bible had to say about it in our last recording. In this recording, we're going to start another section of our of life, and we're going to talk about life eternal. Life eternal. Does the Bible talk about life eternal? Does it clarify or individualize eternity in the realm of life? Does it put life and eternity together? Does it talk about them two together? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So we're going to begin that, and I think we'll just go right on into it. But before we do, I hope that that you are going back and going over those verses that we got and that I've been giving you after each and every one of these, unless I forget. But I always catch up with myself. When I stop doing that, you give me a phone call. But I wanted to mention again and not try to beat your brains out with it, but let you know that there's paperwork that goes along with this study if you'd like to have it. As we go down through this study, I'm actually teaching off of the written form of the studies that I have together, and got the book open and looking right at the paperwork, right at the studies, and going right down through. And these are every one of them's put together, and I can send them to you over the computer if you want to, over an email. And you can write me a little email and send it to Barnhouse Ministries, all of them lowercase letters, Barnhouse Ministries at gmail.com. And if you want them, I'd be happy to send them to you, and you're welcome to use them. And they are all in line with what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, that's almost all it is Scripture. But we go down through there and fill in the blanks as we go. And you can just have that right in your lap, and you don't have to make all that. I mean, you make your notes of what you want from your heart and everything the Holy Ghost is talking to you about, of course. But you can make, you can use these, and I recommend that you use pencil on them, because then you can go back and erase them, and you can copy them and use them for your family, use them for Bible study, have some friends over for supper and sit around and do that and study and use them for your devotions. But you can go over these. I never get tired of going over these. I don't know how many times I taught for 10 years, just about something like that up in Pennsylvania, to troubled men up there. And this is all we studied and went through it, and it's nothing but God's Word, and you should see what God's Word does to people's thinking. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Now you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. So it's God's Word. God's Word lives, and it is supernatural. And it ain't like any other word you've read. There's no other book on this planet ever has been, or in the Book of Congress or whatever that's called, where all them thousands and thousands of books are that they've collected. They ain't never collected one like this. And this thing has been around, and the Lord said that it's going to be around. It liveth and abideth forever. And God said it, and it is, and it's happening right before your eyes, and you got a copy of it. The Lord give it to you. Isn't he wonderful? So let's get on into our study of life eternal. What is life eternal? Life is what our subject is, but particularly eternal life in this section. First thing it is we're going to look at is, how does the Bible define life eternal? Does the Bible speak and deliberately tell us what life eternal is? Well, yeah, it does. It goes into the Scriptures and it teaches us what life eternal is. In John chapter 17, verse 3, we go right on into the Scriptures and let it teach us and tell us what it is. It says, "And this is life eternal." Now, how does that get any plainer than that? John 17, 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That's the Lord talking, of course. And he said, this is life eternal. And said it deliberately and on purpose. And you want to know what life eternal is? He just defined it. He said, it is that they, talking about anybody that reads God's word or anybody that's living and breathing, that they might know thee, and he's talking to his Father, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is life eternal. Life eternal. Anybody who does not know the only true God and Jesus Christ does not know the definition of life eternal. That's how come everybody's running so stinking crazy in the world and going from here to here and place to place and job to job and husband to husband and wife to wife and trying to find it on the moon and trying to find it on the Mars and try to do this. And if we spend enough money, maybe we'll find it. They're looking for where life eternal is. And they can't find it because they're looking in the wrong place and they don't have a relationship with the one that has it. If you don't want to know God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, the only true God, you cannot know what life eternal is. Anybody who doesn't know the only true God in Jesus Christ does not know the definition of life eternal. There is a difference in knowing of the Lord and knowing Him personally. Don't you know that? You could probably raise your hand and testify to that, couldn't you? If you're born again, you can. You know God is real. You know that who you believe in and who your faith is in is not some somebody out there, or somebody laying over bones laying in the ground over there that didn't resurrect. Your God is alive and you know it. Mine is. I laughed with the Lord one time. I'll tell you about that sometime. I heard the Lord laugh with me, not at me, but it was something that happened to me that He was involved in. He did to me. And I've heard Him laugh several times. The Lord laughs. I'll tell you about it sometime. But John 17:3, that was the Lord's prayer for us to His Father before He went to the cross. Or, beg your pardon, was that before? He prayed that before He went to the cross, I believe. Yes, He did. But He prayed for us in John 17. And that was one thing that He prayed was life eternal, that everybody that wants to, especially the ones that's been following Him, could know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom Thou sent. And that's not all. What else does the Bible define life eternal as? Well, it is that it's God's commandment. The Bible defines life eternal as God's commandment, the Word of God spoken by Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 47 through 50. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life. Don't get no plainer than that, does it? How does the Bible define eternal life? It defines it as knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ. That's what every human being, whether he has said it out of his mouth or not, his desire is to know where life is. Because he's watching people drop dead around him every day. And he knows that in his heart there's nothing he can do about it. So he's searching, whether he's letting anybody know or not, he's searching where life eternal is. Every man is searching. Now, Jesus said, if you deny him and deny his words, he's not going to judge you. The word's going to judge you in the last day. But Jesus said that he was following a commandment to bring the words, Jesus is the word, to bring the words of his Father down here to this earth and preach them and put them in written form so that we could have them and know what life eternal is, and that God's commandment is life. Isn't that beautiful? What a God that... What else could a God give to his creation that would be more important than that? Nothing. Our God, his commandment is for everybody to have life eternal. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. If he says he's not willing for any to perish, what does that mean? That means there's going to be some that perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's something that some people just ain't going to do, is repent. It was like one little boy and two little boys arguing, Mama getting on one of them, and she said, you say you're sorry, and he pooches his lips out and just holds his hands up across his chest and folds them up and just stands there with his chin pooched out. That's how some of y'all are with God. The Lord tells you all you have to do is confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. But y'all fold your hands and pooch your lips out and shake your little old chin sideways and just tell God, no, I ain't saying I'm sorry. I ain't saying I'm sorry. And some of y'all living 40 and 50 years and not fixing problems between you and people because you won't say you're sorry. God's commandment is life. That's all that matters. What else? How the Bible defines life eternal. Not only knowing the true God and Jesus Christ, his Son, it is an honor and a privilege to know the Lord, the true and living God, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honor and a privilege. And God's commandment, the Word of God spoken by Jesus Christ, it's a commandment. Life eternal, the Bible defines it as a commandment. And not only that, it is Jesus Christ himself. He is the Word. Jesus Christ is a man. A literal man. Just like a human being. He is a human being. Jesus Christ is a human being. Jesus Christ is the name of a man. He was born of a virgin. In flesh. That's the name of a man, and his name shall be Jesus. But before Jesus Christ was born of that virgin and conceived by God the Holy Ghost, he was and is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word that came and was born of a virgin in flesh as a human being and born and named Jesus Christ. And life eternal, the Bible describes life eternal as Jesus Christ himself, the Word. In 1 John chapter 1, and verse 1 through 4, listen to this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The writer here says that he's seen him with his own eyes. And he knew where he come from. He's called the Word of Life. And he was with the Father, and he was manifested. How? In the flesh. The Word of God, Jesus Christ. He was not Jesus Christ before he was born. He was Jesus Christ when he was born in the flesh, and still is now. But before he was born in the flesh, he was and is the Word of God. But this man says, John says that he's seen him with his own eyes, and he is the Word of life. So the Bible defines life eternal as the true God and Jesus Christ and God's commandment and the Word of God spoken by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ, the Word himself. What else? Well, the Bible describes life eternal as given by Jesus Christ. Life eternal comes. Where does life eternal come from? Or where is it given from? Where does it originate? Where does it come from? If you want eternal life, where do you go get it? If you want life eternal, where's it at? The Bible says, John chapter 10 and verse 27 through 30, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Praise the Lord. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Isn't that tremendous? That is tremendous. So where do you go for life eternal? The Lord says that he's the one. I give unto them eternal life. If you want life eternal, or you want to go where it's given out, the Bible says that you have to go to Jesus Christ. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not all these other dingbats and bunch of fantasy comic book garbage in the world, and everything that everybody's running from one, like a pinball machine, going over and hitting that bumper and going over and hitting that bumper and hitting that bumper and ain't getting nowhere because they're not going to the right place. Life eternal, the Bible says, is given by Jesus Christ. If you don't go through Jesus Christ to get life eternal, you will not have life eternal. Because Jesus Christ is the one that gives it. He said it out of his own mouth. We just read it. The Bible declared it. And we believe our Bible, don't we? Because it is the Word of God. And that's not all. What else does the Bible define life eternal as? It defines it as a gift. The Bible says that life eternal is the gift of God. Where does it say that? In John 6:23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How does it get any simpler than that? Why are you running around? Why are people running around trying to find eternal life when the Bible tells them in plain English that they can understand, a 5-year-old can understand this? For the wages of sin is death. We see that every day. If you sin, you're going to die. And if you sin more and more and more, you're going to die faster and faster and faster. That's what sin does. Sin bringeth forth death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that eternal life can be worked for in the New Testament under the Pauline epistles. You have to go to Jesus Christ to get it. And you cannot pay for it. It can't be bought. It can't be bartered. It can't be bargained for. It can't be traded for. You have to go and ask for it, and the Lord will give it to you freely. Have we learned the definition of life yet? What is life? Well, we're talking about life eternal and what the Bible describes it or defines it as. Knowing the only true God in Jesus Christ is a definition in the Bible. A definition in the Bible is God's commandment, the Word of God spoken by Jesus Christ. The Bible defines life eternal as Jesus Christ Himself, the Word. And the Bible defines it as being given by Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus got a lot to do with life eternal, doesn't He? And it also defines it as a gift. When the Lord went to the cross and shed His blood, He paid for that gift, and He passes it out to anybody that wants it, that'll come to Him to get it. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But they just pooch out their lips and keep on with their sin. They'd rather have that sin. It's so good. It's like people having a barbecue in their front yard, cooking a couple steaks on the grill. And then go in the house, they see this old hound dog, hanging out in the front yard, smelling all that good steak smoke coming off of there, and he's smelling it and hanging around. They throwing rocks at him, told him, get out of here. You ain't getting none of this. And they have to go in the house to get something, and when they start back out, they hear a dog screaming, yor, yor, yor. And when they come outside, they see this dog running down the street, and he's got one of their steaks in the mouth. And he got it off the grill, and the steak is grill hot, and it's burning his lips and burning his tongue and his mouth and everything else, but it's too good to let go of. That's the same way your sin is. It's burning you all to pieces, but it's just too good to let go of. What else about life eternal? We're talking about life. Have we learned what life is? Do we have a definition of life yet? We talked about natural life. Life natural. And the Bible taught us a whole bunch about what life natural is. Living in the body. And we're talking about life eternal now. And the Bible describes it as coming from the Lord Jesus Christ and given by Him and a gift, and it's God's commandment. It's very important. And describes it as knowing the only true God in Jesus Christ. And that you can't have it unless you receive it as a gift. What else? Well, Jesus Christ's relation. What's Jesus Christ's relation to life eternal? Well, we just read a bunch of definitions in the Scripture that had His name involved in a lot of that life eternal, didn't it? But Jesus Christ's relation to life eternal, what's the Bible say about that? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus Christ's relation to life eternal, and one thing that's in relation to life eternal is that it's in Him. Life eternal, according to 2 Timothy, is in Jesus Christ. Paul said so. What else? Well, it's manifested, or it reveals its presence through the Lord Jesus Christ. The way that you know what life eternal is that Jesus Christ reveals life eternal. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Nobody knew what life eternal was. I mean, the Old Testament folks knew God the Father, and they had a relationship with Him, and they knew about faith and works and doing what God said for eternal life, exercising faith in what God told them to do and then doing it and having eternal life. But since the Lord Jesus Christ came, He has brought light to it. He says that He hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline gospel. Faith without works. Faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Not faith in anything else. Not faith in your works or how good you are, because number one, you're not good. Or how many things you've done right and how many things you've done wrong. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with it now. Life eternal is in Jesus Christ. It's in Him. And the Lord is the one that brought it out and brought it to light and revealed its presence. The Lord Jesus Christ. What's Jesus Christ's relation to life eternal? Well, He has the words of it. He says He does. In John chapter 6, verse 68, the Bible says, then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Don't get any plainer than that, does it? Jesus Christ's relation to life eternal. It's in Him. It's brought to light or manifested through Him. And He has the words of it. So all you people that don't think you have to have the Word of God in order to know what the Bible or what God says about eternal life, you better read your Bible again. The Bible says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. You can think whatever you want to think and imagine whatever you want to imagine, but if you believe God's word, then you have to believe that. And some of y'all running around out there saying God's word ain't even on the earth. It's in some kind of original things that don't exist. And nobody can put down on a desk and show you. Don't get into all that garbage and let nobody lie to you like that. You got a copy of God's word right in front of your face. You believe that book. And you believe God and you put faith in them words that God has said. And you watch the Lord bless you for that. Don't you let anybody take your Bible away from you. And that's what the enemy's purpose is to take the words of God away from you. What did he attack when he attacked Jesus Christ and tempted him? He tempted him to go against the words of God every time he tempted him. And Jesus used the words of God to rebuke him. What else? Jesus Christ's relation to life eternal, it's in him. It's brought to light through him. He has the words of it. And not only that, it comes through him. Romans chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It comes through him. I don't know why people go out searching for it and think it's in a job, think it's in a bank account, think life eternal, you're going to get frozen after you die like Michael Jackson was talking about. Or if you live such a good life, or if you do enough, whatever you call that, where the Catholics do it and they cross themselves and everything, if you do enough of them, or if you do enough penance, or if you... is that all life eternal according to the Scriptures? I'm putting all of mine on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I don't know where you're going to put yours, but I'm staking my life and my soul on what God has said. And that's what you ought to be doing. The Lord said for us to take His yoke upon us. So what else? We're talking about life eternal. Life. How the Bible defines life eternal. And Jesus Christ's relation to life eternal. What else? Well, what's the means of securing life eternal? One thing that I done when I got saved, the Lord saved me, and I didn't even know what saved was. I never even knew anything about it. When I was over in Germany, I was invited to a church, and I went to that church, and the same night, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and responded to it, and all I know is my life ain't been the same, and that the Lord came into my life, and I can't tell you how or how he did it or where he come from. All I can tell you is he's been there 40 years and he ain't never left me. I've tried to get away from him several times, but he ain't never let me. He adopted me into his family and made me part of the church, the bride of Christ. Then I didn't know anything about God's word, the Bible, anything about nothing. But he did it. And the only thing I done was agreed with him. And he saved me. Now, you say what you want to say, but I'm telling you, and I'm testifying, that God is real, and them words are real, and if you'll respond to God's written word about the living word in the flesh, Jesus Christ, he'll save you. And if you'll serve him, he'll love you. He loves you anyway, but you don't want no spankings from him. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son with whom he hath to do. Jesus Christ's relation to life eternal. But what's the means of securing life eternal? What does the Bible say? Okay, well, we're getting closer to what we're talking about here, and if you're listening to this and you have absolutely no idea whether or not you're going to heaven or not, here it is right here. Because I know that you're interested in life eternal. You got to be the biggest liar in the world to sit around and say you ain't worried about what's going to happen and whether you're going, what's going to happen to you after you die. Because you know that that soul back by, you see all the bodies going in the grave, but you know them person, them people back behind them eyeballs, that soul, you know you're going to live. You just don't know where or how. And that's what you're trying to find out. Well, here's the answer to all that. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. The means of securing it, making absolutely sure that you're secure with life eternal, that you're not going to die, you're not going to disintegrate, you're not going to burn in hell, you're not going to go into the lake of fire, you're not going to be punished by the Lord. How do you secure all that? Well, the Bible says it's by God's gift. If you're trying to buy eternal life, you're going about it the wrong way. The Bible says the only way you get the real life eternal and really secure it is that you accept a gift. Where does it say that, Brother Thurman? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And what is faith? Faith is just simply believing what you have heard that God has said about getting life eternal. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," talking about the faith. You don't even have enough faith to get yourself saved. God gives you the faith to be able to believe His words in order to accept His truth, His gift. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works," you can't work for it, you can't pay for it, "lest any man should boast," because that's exactly what men would do. If you could give God $10,000 to let you live forever, would you save up $10,000 and give it to Him? Of course you would. But you know what a human being would do then? And say, "Well, I paid for my life, Lord. You don't need to be telling me what to do." That's exactly how a human being would do it, ain't it? That's how we are. But if you have to accept it by a gift, and you do accept it by a gift, there's grace involved. The Lord don't owe you anything because He give it to you. And the only way that you can accept it is through gratitude and thanksgiving and through truth. You can't accept life eternal by grace without telling God the truth about yourself and telling yourself the truth about yourself. God's pretty smart, ain't He? He don't let nobody manipulate Him. He wants to give you life eternal, but He wants to give it to you sincerely. And He wants you to receive it sincerely. If you could work for it and pay God for it, you know what you'd tell God? "Well, get out of my business. I paid you what I owed you for life eternal. Now life eternal belongs to me. Shut up already." That's exactly how a man would do it. But God don't do things that way. He's not a God like men. God ain't like men. He's a wonderful God. And a wonderful God to have for your God. The means of securing life eternal, it's by God's gift. You have to receive it as a gift. What else? It's by having the Son. S-O-N. By having the Son. The Bible says that. Let's see where it says it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, "And this is the record." What's the record? You're holding it right in front of you on your lap. It's a record of God's Word. This is the record. It's written down. The record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It don't get any plainer than that. If you got the Son, you got life. If you don't have the Son, you do not have life eternal. And how do you get it? You get it from the record that God gave of his Son. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So how do you secure life eternal? Well, it's by receiving a gift. It's God's gift. And it's by having the Son. Do you have the Son? Have you asked for him? Why not? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why haven't you? What else? The means of securing life eternal. God's gift, by having the Son, and by knowing the true God. You cannot get life eternal from somebody that can't give it to you. Buddha can't give it to you. Why, they take his skeleton and march it around every year and woo-woo and wah-wah over it. Muhammad's still in the grave. How's he going to give you life eternal? Jesus Christ can give it to you, though. They ain't found one finger bone of him. You know why? Because it ain't there. He resurrected. He's at the right hand of the Father, like he said. By knowing the true God, John chapter 17 and verse 3, the Lord said that, we talked about that earlier, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The means of securing life eternal is going through the right God, is knowing the true God. You know something funny about all them other gods and all them other idols and all them other things that people worship, and if you know, the Lord makes fun of them. The Lord says in the Old Testament that a man will go out in the woods and he'll cut down a stinking tree, and then he'll cut it in half, and with half of the tree he'll start a fire and he'll roast his food and he'll eat. And then with the other half of the tree he'll carve it into an image and bow down and worship it. You tell me who's dumb. But knowing the only true God, Jesus Christ said it's the Father. It's his Father. And that he says, and this is life eternal. If you want life eternal, Jesus said, here it is, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The Lord ain't asking you for nothing except just to start a relationship with him. To accept what he has said about what he has done for life eternal for us. God don't need life eternal. He's living forever. God is eternal. You're the one that needs life eternal. And Jesus Christ made that possible. And his Father did too. And you can know the true God. That's life eternal, is knowing the true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. To be completely honest, do you have the Son? If you're not sure, get it settled today. What else? The means of securing life eternal is by knowing the Scriptures. There are some preachers out there that tell you. There was a preacher that I heard with my own ears that pointed his finger out over the crowd and said, if you think you're born, if you think you're saved by the Bible, you're lost, man. What's the Bible say? The Bible says that he's an apostate and he's a heretic. Because the Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 31, but these are written, you know what written means, don't you? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So it starts with the Word of God that causes you to believe and have the faith in Jesus Christ, who it talks about, the Son of God. And then when you believe that you believe in his name, then you receive life eternal, the Bible says. But the Bible said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, how's the Bible not got anything to do with receiving Jesus Christ? You say, well, brother, I got saved by hearing a preacher talk about it and not out of the book. What was he talking about, though? He was talking about the words that were written in that book, wasn't he? Same thing. God's words. God's words. You can throw a Bible, a book, a literal book Bible, in a fire and burn it. Now, don't get rid of God's words. Remember the king in the Old Testament that tried to do that? He hacked it up with a penknife. They brought the Word of God to him, and he hacked it up with a penknife and threw it in a fireplace and burned it. What did the Lord do? He had Jeremiah sit down and write it out again and make a copy of the first one that he made. Still God's words. And that's what you got today, is a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. But it's still God's words. Isn't that neat? Only the Lord could do that over 2,000 years. There's been like, what was it? Eight billion copies of the Word of God since 1611. The King James Bible is over, I think it's probably around 9 million copies of it so far. And in 160-something languages. I can't remember. I have to look at my notes, but it's something like that. I might be a couple here. I ain't like the evolutionists saying 40 billion years ago. And wait a minute, this fish over here was 170 billion years ago. Where do you get that trash from? I mean, there's a pretty big difference between 40 billion and 150 billion. That's some stupid stuff, boy. Anyway, the means of securing eternal life is by God's gift, by having the Son, by knowing the true God, and by knowing the Scriptures and hearing the Scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You said if you're born again by the Word of God, you're lost, man. The Bible says, and Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, who are you going to believe? You going to believe a preacher that points the finger and tells you that if you think you're saved by the Bible, you're lost, man? Or are you going to believe Peter? Which one are you going to believe? I'll take Peter. That's not all. It's by believing the Son, by knowing the Scriptures, by knowing the true God, and by having the Son. And it's God's gift. And then also, the Bible says that the way that you obtain, or the way that the means of securing life eternal, is by drinking the water of life. Jesus is presented, and the Word of God and life eternal is presented in many different ways symbolically in the Scriptures. It's one of them is water, the water of life, the Bible says. Here, listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 13. Life eternal as drinking the water of life. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the woman at the well. Remember, she's talking about getting some of the water out of the well. And the Lord said, if you drink that water, you're going to get thirsty again. And then he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. See, she still wasn't getting it. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She said, right, he is a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Listen to this. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The water of life. Jesus said, by drinking the water of life, he said, you'll not get thirsty anymore, because it will do what you've been wanting. It'll give you life eternal. You will secure life eternal by drinking the water of life, which is Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? But not only that, securing life eternal also the Bible says, by eating the bread of life. And we find that in John chapter 6 and verse 47. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That bread didn't help them. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drink my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And then he said, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And of course, the Lord, that's where your Catholic hocus pocus comes from, about the transubstantiation and all that stuff about turning a piece of wafer into the actual body of Christ, and the liquor that they drank actually turning into the blood of Christ, literally, and all that kind of stuff, and eating him every single week going to Mass. That's a bunch of false garbage poppycock. It's not what the Bible's teaching. The Lord is teaching there about his blood and his flesh that he's going to give literally, that he's wearing, that he's inside of, that he's going to give that on the cross and sacrifice it as a sacrifice to the Father for your sins, so that you can come and receive the gift of eternal life, and by accepting his sacrifice as the bread of life. That's what the Bible's teaching. Neat. That's a pretty neat plan that the Lord put there, isn't it? The means of securing eternal life is God's gift, is having the Son, is knowing the true God, and by knowing the Scriptures, and by believing the Son, by drinking the water of life, and by eating the bread of life. And by the way, one of the commandments that the Lord left for us to observe was the Lord's Supper. And what does that involve? That involves the bread and the cup, which represents the Lord's blood. And the bread represents the Lord's broken body. And both of those together remind us of his death till he come. The Bible's not confusing about anything. It comes together beautifully and perfectly every time, as long as nobody's trying to manipulate it or make it say what they want it to say. If you believe God and you read his word and accept it by God the Holy Ghost as he teaches it, there's never no confusion in it at all, folks. And lastly, let's look at one more thing about how you secure life eternal, and that is by confessing, believing, and calling upon his name. That's what the Bible says. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. This is New Testament, how to be born again, Pauline, gospel of the grace of God. The Bible says that if thou, that's you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Lord said. How do you secure life eternal? By confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, and by believing the Scriptures and what the Scripture has said about the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will save you if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and calling upon his name. That's all the Bible says. And God will save you. And he does. He saved me. He saved thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians. Millions of them down through history. And is still saving them. Why wouldn't he save you? He will save you if you'll do it the way He says to do it. And you'll believe what He says to believe. You don't have any proof. You have a testimony, the Word of God, of what God has said. And if you can believe that, can you believe God's Word long enough to call, believe God's Word in your heart enough by faith to call upon His Son and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and call upon Him to save you and give you life eternal? If you can, the Lord said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope you'll do that today. I hope you quit playing around with it. Believe the Scriptures and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell Him that you believe that He is the Son of God and that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved, and ask Him to save you. Try it. See what happens. You won't regret it. You won't regret it, because God is not unrighteous. He don't tell you things. He's not a liar. He don't tell you things and then not do it. He said, if you call upon, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you tried it? Try it. See what happens. Hope you'll do that today. I pray that you'll do that today. You never regret, and I've never heard a Christian say, not a true Christian that's been born again. There's never been a true Christian that's been born again that has ever said, I regret having received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never heard that. And don't expect to. I'm never going to say it. I've never even thought it. It's not in my heart. When He give me a whooping, I still love Him. But I ain't planning on getting any more of them whippings. And I hope you don't either. So there we go. We started our study on life eternal. Do we know what life is? What is life? What is life? Do we know what that is yet? We talked about, we began our study on life eternal today and talked about how the Bible defines life eternal. We've talked about Jesus Christ's relationship to life eternal. And we've also talked about the means of securing life eternal. And we're going to stop right there, this recording, and we'll pick up where we've left off today. And we will talk about some characteristics of life eternal for the Christians. For the Christians and what the Bible teaches. Let me give you the Scriptures for today. You ready? John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 12, verse 47 through 50. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 6, verse 68. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. Psalm chapter 36, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 20, verse 31. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. John chapter 3, verse 15 through 36. John chapter 4, verse 13 through 26. Just a few more here. John chapter 6, verse 47 through 58, and Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. And those are the Scriptures for today. And as I was telling you to begin with, that we have this lesson on paper. Not only do I have the lessons on paper, but I've written out all the Scriptures that go along on paper also that run parallel with the lesson. And you can set them both side by side. You can look at the right one and see the lesson, and you can look at the left one and see the scriptures. I have them all right there. If you'd like to have them also, I'd be happy to send them to you. You wouldn't have to write them out. They're already written out. And I've done that work for you. So you could have that also if you like. Just email me and ask for it, and I'll send them to you. Okay? So the Lord bless you, and I thank you and praise the Lord that there are still true Christians that love the Lord and honor His Word and are willing to sacrifice their time, which is the Lord's time anyway, and our privilege. We have done that which is our duty to do, the Bible says. It's an honor to serve the Lord and to live for Him. And you'll never regret it. And one day we get to see Him face to face. Have a good evening. Make you some good supper. And sleep well. I'll talk to you on the next recording. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.